believe that God wants you to live a passionate life, He is the one. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it to the full, or have it more abundantly. God wants you to live a life of passion. And if you're not careful, as you go through life, you find that passion is stolen. And it's gone. It leaves. And last week we looked at four killers of the passion. The first one that we saw was an unclear purpose. Not knowing why you're here to begin with. That's a definite passion killer. And maybe some of us need to reread a book that we did a couple of years ago called The Purpose-Driven Life. To discover what it is, what your purpose is. Why are you here? Why did God make you? You're not an accident. The second passion killer was an unbalanced schedule. And I hope perhaps some of you are rethinking some things. Re-examining your lives. An unbalanced schedule is a passion killer. The third one was an unresolved conflict. Some of you are living your lives with unresolved conflict, continual conflict in relations with people. That's a passion killer. And fourth, we see a lack of support, not being in fellowship with people, with believers, not receiving that support you need that is a must. Now today we're going to take a look, as I said, at four different things that are definite passion killers. Definite passion killers in your life. And I want us today to examine ourselves and once again ask ourselves, are these passion killers, are they playing a part in my life? And I want to encourage you to take some steps to resolve these passion killers. Take a look at perhaps the beginning of your relationship with God. Those of you who are Christians, listen to me. The beginning of your relationship with God. You were passionate. Remember? You were excited. You were ready, you know, to do anything God asked of you to do. And you were going to do it wholeheartedly and all enthusiastic and passionately. Years go by. Is that passion still burning? Is that passion still inside? Are you still in love with God, with His people, with His church? Or has something killed the passion? Let's pray. Lord, help us to open our hearts. Help us to have open minds. There may be some things that are working within us that we have allowed to quench the spirit, to kill the passion that you placed in us. Lord, there may be some in this room who are still outside of your family. They have never had a specific time when they received you as their Lord, as their Savior. When they sought your forgiveness and your restoration to give them a new life, to transform their lives. I pray, Lord, that today would be that special day for them. Give them courage to move. And Lord, when it comes time to invitation, that, Lord, nothing could stop them from taking care of the business that they must do with you today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Four more passion killers. Number one. An unexamined life. Before his execution in 399 BC, Socrates made this statement that an unexamined life is just not worth living. An unexamined life is not worth living. But even long before Socrates, the words were written down in the Bible. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us take a step back and let us search, try ourselves, examine ourselves, and return to the Lord. An unexamined life is not worth living. It's a good practice to regularly stop life, pull aside for a moment just long enough, and still enough to be able to ask yourself some questions. How am I doing? Where am I going? Is my life on track? Is the passion still there? Is the passion burning white hot in my life for the Lord? Is it there? Step aside and examine. When I was younger, much younger, I used to play American football in the States. I played for 3 years. I loved the game. I still enjoy watching it. And some of you maybe don't understand the rules and you think it's crazy. But let me tell you what happens. The team gets together. They do a play. And they execute the play to the best of their abilities. And after the play, what happens? You know? They step back. They gather together. And what do? They discuss, well, that went really lousy. Or that was really good. We did a good job. Now let's try this one out. And they reevaluate, and they come up with a new plan, and they go out and they execute it, but then they stop, they break, they examine once again. That's a good picture of what we need to do in our lives. We get so busy in the game. We get so busy, we go into overtime, and we burn the candle at both ends. And the candle's burning, and you're burning out. And you don't take the time to stop and evaluate and say, how are we doing? Are we making progress? Are we just running on a treadmill? Have you seen the movie Cars, that cartoon movie? Some of us with children have seen it. Cars in a race, any race, motorbikes, whatever, they make a certain amount of laps, and what do they have to do every once in a while? A pit stop. They pull into the pits, and they examine, are there any problems with the car? Do we need to change the tires? We need to refuel. We need to take care of the car so that it can finish the race. And some of you are going through the race without any pit stops. And you're running out of fuel. You're running out of passion. And you're not examining, are there any problems? How am I doing? You need to be able to take time to examine. You need the pit stops. We need the same thing. What you need is to be able to take the time for God to replenish your fuel tank, replenish your soul. Something else is going to happen, though, as you stop and take time. Not only is God going to replenish your soul, but He's going to point out in your life areas that need to be dealt with. Areas in your life that are not measuring up to what He has for you. Failures. Sin. In your life. There's a time that we need to examine our lives, and like David said, search me, O God. Try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Is there anything in my life that is displeasing to you? Maybe it's something I'm not aware of, but I want you to point it out to me, God. Let me tell you something. Sin is a definite passion killer. Did you hear me? Sin is a definite passion killer. It will take the joy out of your life. Don't believe the stuff that you see on TV. Sin takes away joy in life. It doesn't bring joy. The Bible does say that sin brings pleasure. It says it brings pleasure. Did you know the Bible says sin is pleasurable? It says it is, but it says it's for a short season. So sin brings pleasure, and some of you can attest to this and testify and say, yes, I agree. It brings pleasure, but it's very short-lived. And then comes the price tags. Then comes the hurt. Then comes the pain. Sin is a passionate killer. And if you're here this morning and you've not taken the time to pull into the pit stop and examine, and ask God to examine, maybe there's sin working in your life and you've not taken the time to see it. You've not taken the time to confess it. Today is that time. It's a passion killer and it's a life drainer. And it will drain your life. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Deal with it. Don't let it go unconfessed. Some of you are here, and I'm not talking to you as Christians. I'm talking about some who are here who are just seekers. They've never accepted Christ yet. Some of you are here and you have sin that has not been dealt with. You've not brought yourself before the cross of Christ. and said, God, I need your forgiveness. I need your renewal. I need your extreme makeover. I need to be transformed. You've not taken that step. Many of you have, I know it. And I praise the Lord for every one of you. But I also know that there are some in this room that are living with sin in their life. You cannot save yourself. You cannot just change your life. You cannot turn over a new leaf. But God can and wants to and will save you if you come to Him. You need to come to Him. You need to have that sin dealt with. The passion killer in your life dealt with. And let me tell you, if you deal with it this morning and you leave here a new creation with a transformed life, you will have more passion for living than you've ever had before. Do I hear amen? Don't just try to make the outside look good. The inside needs cleansing from God. Reminds me of sometimes our car. I like a clean car, but you know how hard it is to keep a car clean with four kids? Do you know how hard it is? So I take the effort and the time and I get the outside of the car looking fresh and clean and shiny. And people would come along and, you know, they'd say, oh, that is a nice looking car. That sure is a clean car. You did a good job. The tires are black and shiny and the paint is so clean and sparkly. But then you take a look on the inside and you will see leftover food. You will see toys and a dead cat or dog or something in there. Who knows what's in the back seat where the kids lurk? But that's a lot like a lot of us. We focus on the outside, and on the inside there's a lot of work that God wants to do. You focus on making the outside look good, and you present a face. But the inside, God has not been able to take care of it because you have not given Him permission. It's a passion killer. Look at Psalm 38 with me. Verse 4, David says, listen to his heart. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. You ever felt that way? Passion killer. Sin is a passion killer. My wounds fester and are loathsome because of my sinful folly, my foolishness. He's not holding anything back, is he? He's accepting responsibility. He's accepting that he has sinned. And he's telling it like it is. I am bowed down and brought very low. All day long I go about mourning. My back is filled with searing pain. There is no health in my body. I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. And how many of you would say, hey man, I feel the pain, David. I feel the pain. Because you've been there. You've had an unexamined life. And it continues on. And it's crushing. And let me tell you, when your spirit is brought down very low, oftentimes the body is also brought down very low. And you feel the pain. Your body aches and is brought down very low. You cannot feel passion and guilt at the same time. And if you're living with a load of guilt and a load of sin, you cannot have passion in your life. It first needs to be dealt with. And God promises to remove your sin as far from the east as from the west, to throw it into the deepest ocean where He remembers it no more. He takes it away from you. And you're free, you're forgiven, you have a new life. And let me tell you, that brings a passion in your life because you have that freedom. Are you living with that freedom? Or are you living with an unexamined life, with sin in your life, unconfessed sin? In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31, this is written to Christians now. It says, if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. In other words, if you'll take the time to examine your own life and your heart, if you open it up before God and deal with issues as He reveals them to you, He won't need to heavy-handed discipline you and bring people into your lives to point out those areas that need to be dealt with. If we would take the time to have a pit stop and say, God, I want you to examine my life. Let's deal with some issues. There's some things not right in my life. An unexamined life is not worth living. If you're like me, sometimes you go too long without doing this. You go too long without it. Don't do it. Don't do it. God cannot bless and lead you if there's unconfessed, undealt with sin in your life. Some of you here want God's direction and blessing so much. You want God to lead your family, to guide you. But there's unconfessed sin that's been taking place in your life. It cannot work both ways. You need to come clean. God wants to use you. And some of you want to be used by God. You want your life to matter. You want your life to count. But the Bible tells us that God wants to use clean vessels. You know what that means? It means, you know, it's dinner time and you want to get a bowl to put your fried noodles in. And what do? You go to the cupboard. You pick out a nice, clean one. Correct? I hope so. You don't go into the sink and see some crusty old things on it and, you know, some dirt. And you say, I'll use this. It's clean enough for me. Listen, if it's not clean enough for you, it's not clean enough for God. God wants to use clean vessels. And so you're saying, I want my life to matter. I want it to count. Let me ask you, how clean is your vessel? Are you living a life that is kept pure before God? It's time to examine our lives. This morning, it's time to examine your life. The second thing this morning that will kill your passion is this: an undernourished soul. Undernourished. What do we mean by this? I don't know about you, but I'm the kind of man that when I get hungry, I lose patience. Amen, guys? I lose focus. I lose concentration. That's why when we have classes, we must end at noon. You understand? If we go past noon, I start getting cranky. Ask my wife. I get cranky when I'm hungry. My son Charlie, sometimes we've noticed that when he's so naughty, he gets so naughty and he's unreasonable. And Jennifer's figured out in her mind what he needs is a cup of juice or something. And all of a sudden he changes. He's a different boy. It's really weird. And some of you ladies would do good if your husband's getting cranky and naughty, just say, honey, have a plate of noodle. Okay? Fill his tummy. That one is free. But sometimes we go through life with an undernourished soul. How many times a day do you eat? How many times a day do you spend nourishing your soul? How many times a week do you spend nourishing your soul? Matthew 4, verse 4. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on what? But on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus here was also quoting the book of Deuteronomy, which says the same thing. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Man does not live on food only. The food takes care of the body, but God's words take care of our souls. What do you call a person who only ate one time a week? Not a supermodel, okay? You know, we're not going there. But you call them what? Totally undernourished. And you begin to, you know, if you ate one time a week, you wouldn't live too long. But you begin to get very thin. And it would show on your face. And your ribs would show. You call them starving. But every day you're facing distractions and disappointments. Every day you're facing problems, you're facing pressures, you've got conflicts, you've got confusion. Every day you have frustration, fatigue, and failure that you're dealing with. What do you feed your soul with every day? every day your soul is really under pressure and under attack, what are you nourishing it with? Are you nourishing it? You can spend 5-10 minutes at the beginning of every day. At the beginning of every day, reading a few verses in the Bible. Just a few verses that will feed your soul. If this is new to you, I'd encourage you to start with a book. I was reading recently through Philippians, which is all about joy. That's a good place to start. So in the morning, on Monday morning, open your Bible, read a few verses from Philippians, and feed your soul before you go out about your day. Some of you are spiritually malnourished. You're starving. You're starving. And some of you are relying on eating one time a week. Every Sunday morning, I'm going to feed my soul. And guess what? You're getting weaker, not stronger. And there's a reason for that. One time a week is not enough for your body. One time a week is not enough for your soul. You need to feed on God's Word regular. It begins to show in your life when you're spiritually malnourished. You have no strength in your life. You have no strength to fight against the pressure. You have no strength to fight against the fatigue, against failures that come, against conflicts. And we have conflicts, but if you're spiritually malnourished, you don't have the strength to be able to deal with it, to get through it. And some of you are feeling pretty low and pretty weak. How are you feeding your soul? Are you on a good diet? You get aches and pains in your spiritual life. And worse than that, you become an ache and you become a pain to people around you when you're spiritually malnourished. Romans 12:11 says, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord." You know what this tells me? Because of this command, it tells me that you can lose your zeal, you can lose your fervor. So it takes an effort. It's an intentional decision. It's not going to happen automatically. You have to decide some things, that I'm going to feed my soul. I'm going to feed my soul. The Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes from hearing the Word of God. You want more faith in your life? You want your soul fed? It's going to come from the Word of God. It's going to come from God's Word. How are you doing? Has this been a passion killer in your life? Are you trying to function on a malnourished soul? Number three, passion killer. Listen carefully to this one and try to understand an unapplied truth. An unapplied truth. It's when you know the right thing to do, but you keep putting it off. That is an unapplied truth. You keep procrastinating. You're going to lose your passion with unapplied truth. If as a Christian you keep coming and you keep hearing the Word of God, but you are not applying it to your life, guess what? You're going to lose your passion. There's lots of things in this book that perhaps you know, but you don't know them until you apply them in your life. I don't know it until I do it. I don't really know a spiritual truth until I actually act on it and apply it in my own life. For example, many people know Jesus, right? They know that He existed. They know about Him. They heard the things He did, the stories He told, the teachings He taught, the people He healed, the things He ate. They know all about Jesus, but this is not the same as knowing Jesus, right? Some of you may know about Jesus, but it's not the same thing as knowing Him. God warns us over and over again in the Bible about the worthlessness of knowing the truth without doing anything about it, without practicing it, without obeying it. And I want to read 2 Peter 1:5. Watch the progression here. in 2 Peter 1, verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort. By the way, do you see that word, make every what? Effort. What does that imply? It means it takes effort. It's going to take some work. It's not going to happen accidentally. It takes effort on your part. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to be ineffective and unproductive in my life. You don't want to be ineffective and unproductive in your life. You want a life full of character. You want to know God better. Here's the key. It says, make every effort. It's going to be done on purpose, not on accident. What you're doing right now doesn't take a lot of effort. You're sitting here right now, and I hope most of you are listening. Some of you I see perhaps with your eyes closed and you're meditating on what I'm saying, okay? Focus on me right now. Don't meditate right now. Listening, though, doesn't take a lot of effort. You can come here, you can sit down, you can listen to me. The hard part, though, is am I going to do anything about it? Last week and this week, you're looking at passion killers. And maybe you're sitting here listening right now and you're saying, yep, I got that one. Yes, that's one for me too. Yes, that's killed my passion. That takes no effort at all. But what are you going to do about it after we're finished? What are you going to do about it come tomorrow? That takes a little effort. It takes a little effort. Am I going to do anything about it? Am I going to go home and work on clearing up my purpose? Balancing my schedule, like we talked about last week, on resolving conflict with people in my life, on getting life support with people. These things will take some effort. It is taking the truth that you've heard, and it's beginning to apply it and do something. It takes no effort to sit there and listen about how great Jesus is, how much He loves you, how much He wants to forgive you. But what's going to take a little effort is be able to say, I need to trust Him today. I need to do something about what I've heard. That message is meant for me. You know what I used to do when I was younger a lot? I used to listen to a preacher preach, and I'd think in my mind, oh man, that's a good message. You know, he needs to hear that. You know, I'm glad he spoke on that today. She needed that. And maybe some of you are here saying right now, this is what my wife really needs. Thank you, Pastor Ken. That was great. I used to do that a lot. And maybe you do that too. But you know what's better? Opening up your heart and saying, God, I want to receive what you have to say, and I need to do something about it. And it's easy to sit there and listen, but to take it and make it very personal and say, God, that's exactly what I need to hear. And do something about it. You could come to a class. Maybe we'd hold a class on nutrition and health. And all of you come and listen to me speak on nutrition and health. You know, maybe I'm not qualified to speak on nutrition. But you come and listen. And you take the notes. And you leave here. What if you don't do anything about it? I teach you on how you need to exercise each day and what you ought to do. Get started and you enjoy it and you listen to it and you think that's fantastic. That's good stuff. He needs to hear it. And you leave here and you don't do anything. Is that going to be a benefit to you? Do you really know the truth? You've heard it, but you don't know it until you've really applied it. You must apply the things that you hear. Let me read James 1:23 now. Anyone who listens to the word Hey, tell you what, say this one with me, okay? Ready? Let's say it together. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Ladies, does your husband do that? I mean, you go and stand in front of the mirror and you see your hair all over the place and you see your face unshaved and your teeth have stuff growing on them and you take a look at that and you say, yeah, man, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. Oh, that's something. And you walk away and you take off to church and you scare everybody when you arrive. You forget what you look like. That's the same thing. Unapplied truth. The Bible is the mirror. And it shows you for what you are. It points out things that need correction. Things that need fixing. Things that are not right in your life. And the Bible says, this, you know, it's just like a person who looks in the mirror and walks away forgetting all about it. Just like that, when somebody hears God's word and walks away and it does not change their actions. It doesn't change their life. What's the point? It's useless. How many of you would like God's blessings in all areas of your lives? Everybody should. I'm sure. I don't think anyone would say, you know, I really don't want God's blessing in all areas of my life. Everyone wants God's blessing. But I want to tell you that God's blessing doesn't come from listening, just hearing the truth. It doesn't come from just coming on Sunday and hearing. It comes from doing the truth, applying the truth. I want God's blessing in my life, but it's not going to come automatically because I heard a good message on living right one time. It's not going to happen. I need to take that truth and begin to live it, begin to deal with some issues, examine my life, open my life to God. We can go to church. You can hear great sermons. You can hear good teaching. You can understand all kinds of spiritual truths, but if you go out and do not do anything about it, you're just kidding yourself. You're just kidding yourself. You're trying to play a game. It doesn't work. Some people I've known are always learning. They listen to all kinds of messages. They get tapes. They read all kinds of books. They go to all the seminars on Christian living, but they don't apply it. They don't apply it. I want to say something that might surprise you, but Bible study without application, without using it, doing it, could actually be harmful in your life. You say, what? Bible study harmful? Bible study without application can be harmful. James 4:17, anyone who hears, who knows the right thing to do and doesn't do it is... okay. That means, as Jesus says, to whom much is given, much is required. So it does no good to keep getting, and you got lots. And in our culture, in New Zealand, we have lots. We're not in a third world where, you know, every other corner there's a Christian bookstore. We have Christian radio stations. We have Christian television. We have lots of information. We have seminars. We have studies all over the place. And you're getting heaps. And let me tell you, there's some things required then. You've been given much. Much is required of you. When you stand before God, you're not going to be able to say, well, God, I just didn't have access to knowledge. That's not true. That's why I believe sometimes if you go into many churches, it's filled with people who have no passion at all, because it's full of people who are ever learning, but never making the application, never doing, never practicing it. Jesus said in Luke 8:21, listen carefully to Him. Jesus said, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice.
Jesus said, this is the people who are my family. He didn't say, my mother, my brothers, my family are those who hear God's Word. He said, it's those who do it. Those who hear it, who believe it, and make application in their lives. How are you doing? Is this a passion killer in your life? Do you have a malnourished soul? An undernourished soul? The fourth one and final one. An unexpressed faith. Did you know that God has a message that He wants to say to the world through you? And no one else can give that message except for you. Because of your uniqueness, the special uniqueness that you have. You know all the things. Everybody has a unique thumbprint. Everybody's DNA is specific. Everything is very special and unique about you. And God has a unique message to give through you. And only you can give it. Only you can give your testimony of what you have come from and what God has done in your life through Jesus Christ. Only you can do that. If you do not express that, two sad things happen. First of all, the world gets cheated out of something that God had intended for it to receive. The world gets cheated. Second of all, you will lose your passion because you were not made just to take in. You were made also to give out. Goes back to an old illustration I heard many years ago of two famous lakes in Israel. One is the Sea of Galilee and the other one, Dead Sea. In the northern part of Israel is the Sea of Galilee. In the southern part, there's this one called the Dead Sea. As you know, the Dead Sea continually takes in. And the salt just builds up so much because it doesn't give out that it becomes so that it cannot sustain any life. There's nothing that can live in the Dead Sea. That's why it's called the Dead Sea. But the Sea of Galilee, even today, is with life. Because it doesn't just take in, it's continually giving back out again. Some of you come to church and you learn all kinds of truth, but you don't act on them. You don't apply them, and you don't pass it on to somebody else. You don't give out. Express them. You're going to go stagnant like the Dead Sea. If you want to stay fresh, stay vital, you want to stay alive in your life, I want to give you a little habit to develop. Tell other people about God. Tell somebody about Christ. Tell them. The world will get cheated and you will lose your passion if you do not. I want to ask you a very important question right now. Think in your heart. Think in your mind. How long has it been since you talked to somebody about Christ? How long has it been since you talked from your heart to somebody about Christ? Maybe there's been opportunities that have come and gone and you've not taken them. Somebody's been cheated and you begin to lose your passion. How long has it been since you told somebody about what God has done for you? Have you ever done that? Maybe you've been a Christian for a few years now. And you've been taking in, you've been growing, you've been learning, you've been being fed. Have you ever given out? Have you ever just told somebody about your testimony? You know, my life was going the wrong direction. And tell them about what's happened in your life and what Christ has done and what He's done in your life and the transformation He's made. Have you talked to somebody about the Lord? Listen to 1 Peter 2, verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. This is you, Christian. This isn't just a few special people, the apostles. This is you as believers. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. For what purpose? That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. That's what you were made for. To declare His praises. To give out. To tell the message that God has for your life. The reason that you are here.
You don't have to be a great theologian and understand all the mysteries of the Bible to be able to express yourself to people. To be able to tell people how great God is. What He's done in your life. You don't have to be that smart. You can give the simple message, a simple testimony of what God has done. How good He is. How awesome He is. How frank are you about, or how serious are you about getting that passion back? How serious are you about living a passionate life? 1 Timothy 4:8 says physical training is of some value. It does some good. What it means is, yeah, you go out and you get in shape and it does some good. You feel better, you live longer, you're healthier, you can do more things. But is it eternal? Do you stay eternally young and healthy? Of course not. Even the fittest people, the most healthiest people are going to die. You'll die healthier, but you will be dead. So it says, physical training is of some value, limited value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So the question is, not just are you physically fit, are you spiritually fit? Are you exercising your spiritual muscles? Are you giving out? Are you using what God has given to you for the benefit of the world? For the benefit of people around you? Are you exercising them? There are four habits that I want you to remember today. And they're going to be expressed this morning in an acronym. C-H-A-T, which spells chat. Some of you like to chat a lot. Practice this one. The first C is to check your spiritual life. Check your progress on a weekly basis. That is, God, how am I doing? God, am I on track? Is there anything I need to confess in my life right now? Make regular pit stops. Check your spiritual life. H, hear the Word. You've got to hear the Word. You've got to get spiritual input so that you are nourished. And don't feed on the Word one time a week. I want to say this again, and I will keep saying it until everybody listens to me. Come on Sunday night to hear the Word, to continue to be fed, to get spiritual nourishment. Sunday evening is our spiritual feeding time. In the week, we encourage everybody into small groups, life groups. That's a spiritual feeding time. You say, by Wednesday or Tuesday or Thursday, it's in the middle of the week, I am so tired. That's why you need the spiritual nourishment. That's why you need to be plugged in. I have found that the people that go to life groups, many of them come and say, I didn't really want to go tonight because I was so tired from a hard week at work, a hard day at work. But now that I'm here, I'm so blessed for being here. I can't believe I thought about not coming, because then you continue through the rest of your week undernourished. You need nourishment. But barring that, one of the greatest things that will help you is regular time each day. In the morning, when you get up and you give the first part to God, and you get fed, and you get nourished, and you get ready for the day and the trials that it will bring, hear the Word. A, act on it. Act on it. Take the information you're getting and begin to do some things about it. There's very little in this book that I have not already heard by now. very little, but I'm going to tell you a couple of things. Number one, there's a lot in here that I'm not doing. I still need to make application. Number two, there's a lot in here that I need to rehear and hear it again and hear it again, because like all humans, I forget, and I need a thump on the back of my head and a reminder of some of the very basics at times. And so do you. You need that reminder. And there's lots in here that you need to begin applying now to your life. Act on it. T. Tell others. Don't just keep taking in. You need to begin to give out. Be open. Be a sieve. You know, a sieve, you know, takes in stuff, but it cranks it out at the same time. You need to begin to give out and tell others. How's your passion? How's that fire that's inside of you? Have any of these passion killers been destroying that? Now I want to invite you to do something about it. If there's something that's going on in your life, maybe it's you need to deal with some of this. You need to deal with some of these passion killers. Then do something about it. And I encourage you, invitation is just that time. You've been listening, you've been hearing, and now I'm going to say, do something about it. Take a step. Come and spend some time with the Lord now. Spend some time confessing some things, getting some things right, saying, God, examine my life. And some of you who are here and you haven't taken a step of faith to trust Jesus Christ, today it's time. Step out. Do something about it. Don't just keep taking in and hoping that one day God will make you do something. Do something. Do something today. Act upon the things that you have heard. Will you now stand with me, please? Everybody, please close your eyes. I want to pray for you, and I'm going to ask for a show of hands.